Shall I have everyone can please come close together? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا أما بعد اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. Inshallah, beloved brothers, if you can please move forward and come close together. Let's sit in the gathering. We have about just a half an hour, inshallah, for breaking our fast. We'll share a few words and spend some few minutes doing dhikr, and then we'll conclude with a collective dua before the Maghrib adhan, inshallah. The series of du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? This is the after Asr series that we're doing on prophetic du'as, and especially du'as that have kind of a background to it. And there are so many such incidents that have happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naturally that would lead the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to guiding the people to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicate to him. But why will a person, like, what is the role of du'a? This is what I want to focus on today. And I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires me and all of us to understand and put into practice. The verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, your Lord has made a proclamation. Allah has proclaimed, listen, Allah has made a proclamation. Udu'uni, supplicate to me. أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and I will accept your prayer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, indeed those people who will arrogantly turn away from my worship, سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّ مَدَاخِرِينَ, they will enter into hellfire disgraced. What is the concept of dua that you and I have? The concept in our society is that the dua is for the elderly, white-bearded, old, you know, person, scholar. We line up and say, please make dua for me. But when it comes to me, I'm a nobody. I'm barely here. I'm barely struggling to keep up my salah. You know, so what role does dua have in my life? That's for the people who are super close to Allah. Complete opposite of what it's supposed to be. The mindset is, dua is not for me, dua is for the very pious people. Allah listens to them. Allah listens to people who are always in the masjid. And what do I have to share with Allah? On what basis is Allah going to listen to me? What am I going to speak to Him about? When reality is that dua is for every single person, those who are praying, you know, not only five times a day, but multiple times a day beyond that. Their tahajjud, their ishraq, their tawabin, the nawafil, and stuff like that. But then someone who is completely in neck deep of sin, dua is for him as well. Which whenever a person chooses to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is waiting for him. So this ayah says, your Lord made a proclamation, supplicate to me and I will accept your prayer. So my dear friends, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there anyone more truthful than Allah? Is there anyone more honest than Allah? The answer is, of course not. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is the one who speaks more truthfulness than Allah? Allah asks, is there anyone more truthful than me? Is there anyone who has more truthful speech than I? And the answer is, of course, ya Allah, nobody. So Allah says, well, I am telling you that this is the rule that I have made for you, the relationship between you and I. And that is, udu'uni, you talk to me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will respond. Allah forgive us, we live in a cell phone, smartphone era of overwhelming addiction to mobile phones. And you and I are all a victim of it. When someone says, hey, hello, we're looking on and we don't even know what the person said. The person can say something, a whole paragraph, we'll have no idea what he said. It can happen between a husband and a wife. It can happen between parents and kids. It can happen between siblings. It can happen between business partners. It can happen between friends. That we're so engrossed in our, whatever we're surfing, whatever we are, looking at on the phone, that an entire paragraph or an entire conversation will completely go over our heads from one ear out the other ear. We won't even notice what happened. Allah is not like that. Allah says, you press the button, you ask me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I'm going to respond. Allah Azza wa Jal is willing to immediately respond and be all ears, as we say, to the person who turns his attention to Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, listen, I don't need you, you need me. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, you're the one who needs me. وَاللَّهُ وَالْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ, and Allah is all free of all want, worthy of all praise. Free of all want, worthy of all praise. The fact that I'm asking you to speak to me is not for my need, it's for your own need. Like a mom and dad say, anytime you need anything, call me. And what happens? Usually the kids don't call until they're actually, the car is stuck inside the ditch, the wheels are spinning, and they don't have the AAA card. Then they call for help. Right? So, by we told you from the first place, if you're in Mashara, you should not be driving on roads like this. You should have taken a triple A card with you. You should have put on protective, you know, you should have changed your tires. You have 10 things. But if we didn't make Mashara and now we're stuck in the ditch and we call, I think, who are we calling for? For whose benefit? For our benefit, not for our parents' benefit. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, supplicate to me, turn to me, reach out to me because you need me, not the other way around. I remember one time, subhanAllah, I was speaking about people leaving the deen, leaving Islam, as I do on a daily basis, because I feel that this is one of the most important things that we're dealing with, a crisis that we're dealing with. And in the talk, I was mentioning that, you know, no matter how much you're struggling in your faith, if you're doubting yourself, you feel like you're slipping down a mountain, right? You're going downhill and you can barely grab on to anything to that would keep you a believer. At the least, what you and I should do at this time, Allah protect us from falling in that situation. I know millions are in this situation, hundreds of thousands are in this situation. At least keep the door of dua open. Just ask Allah that, Ya Allah, you know me, I'm struggling. I have a hard time believing in your existence right now. I'm being bombarded by all sorts of stuff. I'm being bombarded, like right now, Dhuhr, someone shared with me a podcast that he's been listening to that apparently puts, I don't want, you know, go into the full detail of it, but puts in a lot of doubt about the veracity of the Quran. MashaAllah, very educated young brother, but in dunya wise, but he said, man, you know what, this got me really thinking. But why are you listening to this? But that's a problem, right? We're not here listening to the talks in the masjid, but we're listening to, unfortunately, loads of other types of podcasts and all sorts of recordings that actually are there to put doubt. And you know, whatever things I hear and see in society, I bring it here because I know that one person is a representative of thousands of others. Interestingly, another individual after Dhuhr asked me, my mashura, that he listens religiously, yani religious means regularly, to a very famous Christian preacher who gives his sermons from the church. He said, I listen to his podcast. I'm like, why? Because he gives some very nice advice, and he knows me, I know him, I love him for the sake of Allah, but I'm sharing this because warn other people to fall in this, who should not fall in this situation. I listen. He said, well, he gives very great examples, like he spoke about Musa alayhi salam's story. Simple thing, man, a first year student, a Sunday school student also who's got, you know, a little mindset, he can say this. But okay, I got it. I heard the example, I heard the take home point. But why are you listening from a Christian preacher who himself knows more than likely he's a fraudster? He's a very famous person, I don't want to quote his name. But you all know, one of those televangelicals, millionaires who fly in their own private jet, you know, type of things that have been given by the community, by the church. By the fraud from top to bottom. And no, I understand there's a positive thing he's saying. We don't have anything. There's all the books of our ulama burnt, all the ulama dead. What's going on? Where you have 1400 years of Islamic scholarship, why are we neglecting that and listening to someone who is presenting something beneficial, fine, but with 100% there's got to be tainted. Remember this. Whoever you listen to, if you read someone's book, our ulama say, if you read someone's book, you're sitting in their gathering. If you sit and listen to a talk, obviously you're sitting live podcast or live video cast, you're obviously sitting in the gathering. When a person is speaking, what happens? The word, the speech goes into the ears. But there is something happening from the heart to heart. If a person is connected with Allah, then the nur of the deen, the nur of the Quran and Sunnah, the nur that's been emanated from Rasulullah's heart, that came from Jibreel alayhi salam, that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been pushed down. And if a person listens to someone who's on the other side of the fence, then the dhulma and the darkness of that also is going to be pushed down. There's no such thing as listening to something without any attachments. Then he know this story. I said, you know this story. What happened? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting there, and Umar radiallahu anhu is reading and exclaiming, wow, this is an amazing point. Where is he reading from? The Torah. Interestingly, the man was sharing with me the story of Musa alayhi salam. I said, Umar radiallahu anhu, you can't get more pious than him. You can't get better than him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there any prophet after me, it's going to be Umar. If hypothetically speaking, if Prophet order were to be given to anyone, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. He is reading from Torah and taking, it's a book of Allah. It's from the same Lord who's the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did not notice that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face was turning red out of anger. His face was such, His complexion was such when he would get angry, it would seem as though pomegranate juice has been sprinkled over. Red, bright red. Blood would rush to his face. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, if I may say, kind of, you know, elbowed him. Like, look. So Abu Umar radiallahu anhu, he lifted his eyes off of the Torah and looked. And he saw the Prophet is angry. Immediately, Umar radiallahu anhu went down on his knees. He went on his knees and he said, "Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam nabiyyan wa rasula. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, Islam as my religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as my prophet." What is it? "I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, Islam as my religion, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Allah's messenger." This is the dua that we should read morning and evening. All right? Alhamdulillah, those of you praying Fajr here, you know, every morning, alhamdulillah, throughout the entire year, we read the morning duas. And on the way out, before you leave, there is the morning dua booklet. If you do not have one, you can pick it up from the lobby. It has the English translation and transliteration as well. And this is a beautiful habit we should have in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan with ourselves and our family to read our morning and evening duas. So this dua is mentioned there. Raditu billahi rabba. This is the dua that we are supposed to read every morning and evening. And I just gave you the background of that, for those of us who didn't know. The background is someone was reading the Torah, not someone, Umar ibn al-Khattab was reading in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And the background of this dua, he recited this dua in front of the Prophet ﷺ to reaffirm his faith. That just because I was reading the Torah does not mean I am disrespecting or I meant to disrespect. But it came off as disrespect. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that لو كان موسى حيا لما وسعه إلا اتباع أمري أو كما قال عليه السلام. You're reading the Torah of Musa. If Musa ﷺ himself were to be present here alive, the only way for his salvation were to be if you were to follow me. If Musa were to be here, he would not get salvation following Torah. He'd have to follow me. You're reading the book that was revealed unto Musa ﷺ. Hundreds of, you know, thousands of years ago. So I explained to the brother, alhamdulillah, he understood. His intention was to be able to connect with his kids with good, great examples and new examples. And I said, yes, there are enough good Islamic speakers who will give you relevant good examples and stories and spins on the stories in which would keep us not in need of listening to these other types of people. So the idea, where did we talk about, subhanAllah, backtracking here now, reversing, is that lots of people, because they're listening to various things, doubts are coming into their mind. They're very educated in the dunya. Masters and PhDs, no, mashallah, normal in our community. Bachelors is like first grade. Everyone's got it. Everyone's reading. Not that bachelors means educated, by the way. That's a different story. But yani, they're schooled. Everyone is schooled. And everyone is reading a lot. Because of which a lot of doubts are coming. It's scary. So if a person, Allah forbid, is falling into doubt, what should he resort to? What we just said? Dua. So I said this in my talk. SubhanAllah, a few weeks later, I met one Hafidh al-Quran, who in one time was an MSA president, very active. He met me and he said, "You know what? I've been suffering a faith crisis, pretty much left the fold of Islam. But someone sent me the link of one of the Darussalam programs that was taking place, maybe a retreat, Sierra conference. And I just turn it on, and this is exactly what you were speaking about. You were saying that no matter if you are struggling in your faith, make sure you don't give up dua. That dua will help you get out of it." I said, "SubhanAllah, what a sign of Allah's love for you. That you haven't come to the masjid. You have left, you know, for major branches of deen or major aspects of the deen, you're not practicing. But randomly someone sends you a link, and you switch it on. And the speaker is speaking about the exact same thing, the turn to Allah in dua. Alhamdulillah, to my knowledge, that person is now in a much better situation." But the idea is, we should never think that dua is only for the pious, or dua is only for one specific group of people. My beloved sisters, my beloved brothers, newcomers, whoever we are, dua is for every one of us, and Allah is saying, "I'm going to respond to you as soon as you do so." That is why one of the scholars of tafsir, he's mentioned, "Man u'tiya du'a, u'tiya al-ijaba." He said, "Whoever has been given the gift of asking shall be given the gift of what? What do you think? Receiving, right? Acceptance. And whoever's been given the gift of asking will definitely be given the gift of acceptance. Because Allah Himself said it. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me and I'll respond to you. So if Allah allows you to do the first part of the deal, He is definitely going to fulfill His part of the deal. SubhanAllah. Did you get that? If Allah enables you to do your part of the deal, the rest of it is now in Allah's court. Why will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can Allah not do what's in His responsibility? Allah will definitely do that. So anytime you see someone sitting there in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, in the Haram Sharif, making dua, you should look at that person and you should say, this guy's dua is definitely accepted. As long as we keep in mind what we covered yesterday. What did we cover yesterday? That we have to make sure our eating, drinking, clothing, source of income is all halal. If it's haram and we are a traveler and we got a condition that would invoke empathy and sympathy, Allah is not going to listen. Because we're warring with Allah and then we're not repenting. Remember, if you're at war with Allah, you're sinning. But then you're saying, Allah, please forgive me. It's all open. It's clear. The door's open, wide open. Come through. But a man, if he says, no, I'm going to sin and I'm not going to feel guilty and I'm not going to repent, but I expect you to give me XYZ. It's not going to work like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to come clean. No matter what sin we have committed, just repent. And then afterwards ask. Continue on with the verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Indeed, those who arrogantly turn away from my worship. Allah says, those who arrogantly turn away from my worship. سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. They are going to enter hellfire. Disgraced. What was the first portion of the ayah? What did Allah say, told us to do? Come on, anyone? Dua. And the second portion of the ayah, indeed those who arrogantly turn away from what? Worship. Is dua been mentioned here? No. Correct? Allah talks about dua, and the second portion of the verse speaks about what? About what? Worship. So that, why did Allah use the word worship? Those who arrogantly turn away from worship. The ulama explained that because worship, in its true sense, is manifested in what? In dua. Can you all repeat that? Worship is manifested in what? Dua. So dua and worship are interchangeable. The one who does not do dua, Allah is saying, you're not doing what? Worship. And then the reason why we don't do dua or we don't do worship is been labeled here, called out. What is it? What's the reason? Arrogance. I'm not saying this. Allah is saying it. That you're arrogant. If you don't ask, you think you have it all. You've figured it all out. You think you're very smart. You think you have a lot of money. You think you have a lot of means. You have a lot of connections. You have a lot of contacts. You have a lot of swag. You have whatever. You don't need Allah. What is that? That is takabbur. That is arrogance. And this arrogance is exactly what Allah Azza wa Jal cannot handle. He hates it. He hates it. Hadith mentions, Al-azamatu ridai. That greatness and grandeur is my upper garment. And yes, And greatness and azama is my lower garment. Upper garment, lower garment, both of them are connected with what? Greatness. Both of them are connected with what? Greatness. فَمَنْ نَازَعَنِي فَمَنْ نَازَعَنِي فِي. Whoever tries to grab this upper or lower garment. If I try to grab your shirt, right? If I wasn't his friend or his teacher, you know, he's going to say, what's going on? But if you just go grab someone's shirt, he's going to get upset. Imagine you're messing with Allah. You're grabbing Allah's upper or lower garment. This is obviously a metaphor. What would you do? You would get so mad at anyone who touches your clothes and yanks it. Yanks it. Not just say, oh, how are you, buddy? Yanks it out. Stealing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you try to snatch away greatness from me, I will drag you face down into hellfire. Don't act arrogant in front of me. This is something Allah will not accept. To the extent if a person can has the best of deeds, but he has an iota of arrogance, an iota, not 1 kilogram, one, not even 1 gram, a speck of arrogance, the arrogant detectors of Jannah will not allow him pass through. Alert. You can't come through. Get out. Go where? Where's the cleansing? There's no just take off your jacket and come through. No. You go to hell. Go to Jahannam and get cleansed and then come back. for a speck of arrogance. This is something which Allah will not accept. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you are humble, then you will not have a problem in asking me and begging me that, Ya Allah, give me this and that. Is this clear? So dua and ibadah are both interchangeable. And this is the dua of the, this is the hadith of the Prophet, dua u mukhul ibadah. It's not just interchangeable, it's the essence of it. What does this mean? We fasted from Fajr time till now. Every day we're going to be fasting, inshallah. We say, man, I'm hungry, I'm starving, I'm thirsty, I'm XYZ, I'm tired. Alhamdulillah, Allah reward you. But if we did not do dua any time in this day, unfortunately, we missed out on the reality of fasting. We stand up for 7-day tarawih, 5-day tarawih, or whatever, 29-day tarawih, and you say your feet are hurting. But my beloved sisters and beloved brothers and beloved friends and beloved students, and if we do not spend a few minutes making dua before or after tarawih, or during the four, between every four, we have unfortunately lost out on the reality of tarawih. You know, there's this rush. Every time, after every salah, rush, everyone wants to leave. It's like, now is the time to cash out. You pray 20 rakats, now spend 5 minutes asking Allah, 10 minutes. And if you have to go somewhere, your wife is coming, whatever, sit in the car and do it. You don't have to do it here. But just don't forget. Shaitan, he makes us stand up, and then unfortunately makes us forget. That's the cheap tactic he uses against us. He makes us remember this and that. So dua u mukhul ibadah is dua is the essence. It's like someone who's eating a fruit, banana, let's say, and he peels it, and mashallah, he throws the inside of it into the garbage can and starts, he says, I got the peel. What's inside is mukh. What's inside is mukh. Allah says dua is the inside part of your ibadah. Why would you take the inside part of it and throw it away and keep the external parts? Another narration says, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua it in itself is ibadah. So my beloved brothers, we don't have much time. I want us to remind ourselves that yes, we're going to make a short dua now, but we have to make this month a month of dua. And water, you know, we have, many of you have a habit of taking jugs, gallons of water, and you fill it up in the morning and you drink it throughout the day. Many of us have habit of having a footsteps tracker on our phones or gadgets or whatnot, Fitbits. This is not what they used to do before in the world. When I went to Malawi, they didn't have this. They don't have other parts of the world. Because why? People live a natural life. People drink water. People walk more than they need to. We don't. We have an unnatural life. Similarly, our dua is also is unnatural. We do not make enough dua. That is why I encourage you all, the way we've gotten ourselves on crutches for water and walking and many other things, we need to utilize something like a stopwatch on our phone or our watch, clock, you know, whatever, hand watch, and set it for 10 minutes for the first week or the first 10 days. And until that alarm doesn't go off, continue to make dua. And then the next week, you can increase it to 15 minutes. And the next week or the next 10 days, you can increase it to 20 minutes. But we have to make sure we attach ourselves to dua in a way that we force ourselves to sit down and say, I'm not drinking enough water, so I have to drink this much. I'm not walking enough steps, so I have to measure. I am not doing enough dua, that's why I'm going to time myself. Okay. And in that dua, you're going to say, what should I ask? There's lots of things you can ask. One of the things is spend 50% speaking to Allah. Just talking about yourself and your issues. Now you say, Ya Allah, give me this and give me that. Ya Allah, how much I love you. How much you have done for me. How kind you have been to me. Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then make your ask. This is the way we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua. Our bookstore has Al-Hizbul A'zam, The Greatest Litany, and Accepted Whispers, Munajat Maqbool, two beautiful books purchased from here or anywhere else. Accepted Whispers and The Greatest Litany by Mullah Ali Qari has a collection of 200 prophetic du'as and du'as from the Quran. Make a habit of reading it with your family every single day. Go through it in English, if you do not understand Arabic. But have your kids, your spouse, join you every single day, 15 minutes. And you will have covered in 1 week the majority of the main du'as of the Prophet ﷺ and that of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make this a month of du'a. And may He make us from amongst those who are able to access the gist of all of our ibadah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. I want to mention before we start the dua that alhamdulillah, today's event, our annual iftar and dinner, mashallah, it's so nice to see all of you here, is in collaboration with Islamic Relief, a very well-known and respected non-for-profit relief organization across the world. That is, tonight, inshallah, they are a collective partner with us, and we will be raising funds in Taraweeh for aiding Sudan. And for those of you who do not know, the US aid organization has been shut down after 60 years. And any of those places, including, I just spoke to someone who just came back from Jordan. He said Jordan is empty, dead, because there were many of these countries were being sustained by US aid. And when they got pulled out, the whole infrastructure is falling apart. Inshallah, he was optimistic that it's forcing Jordanians now to wake up and say, we got to do something. But people like Sudan, there's a massive civil war being fueled by outside forces. And it's a 2 million plus people are on the brink of starvation. So tonight we'll be raising funds for that. And there's Islamic Relief representatives outside. You know, please give whatever you can, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, sadaqah, or whatever else we want to, as we're fasting and alhamdulillah in Ramadan. We need to definitely feel the pain of the ummah that is struggling across the globe. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the reward of giving food to a fasting person. These people are not fasting in Ramadan only. They fast the whole year. They have nothing. They have nothing. They're starving to death. So $100, $50, please do not leave without giving something from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this blessed month of Ramadan. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our simple, small, humble efforts to become a means of alleviating the problems in Sudan and bringing sukoon and security and peace and end to the civil war in that region and all other regions of the globe. And we will, inshallah, conclude with a dua. اللهم انت السلام منك السلام وتباركت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا احد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والارض يا ذا الجلال والاكرام سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة امرنا واصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا واصلح لنا اخرتنا التي فيها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم رحمتك نرجو رحمتك نرجو فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم يا حي يا قيوم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم ارزقنا طيبا واستعملنا طيبا اللهم ارزقنا طيبا اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء لك بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our fast. Oh Allah, I ask you to accept the fast of all those across the globe who are fasting. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our taraweeh. We ask you to accept our fard salah. We ask you to accept our dhikr and dua. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept any and all dini efforts that we're involved in. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, do not allow our sins of the past or our current sins to become a means of us being deprived of the blessings of this month. Oh Allah, we ask you to turn the direction of our heart away from your creation towards you. Oh Allah, away from running after material things towards running towards the hereafter. Oh Allah, make it easy for all of us to love you the way you ought to be loved, and to love your prophet the way he ought to be loved, and to love his family the way they ought to be loved, to love the companions the way they ought to be loved. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with nur of iman. Oh Allah, remove the filth of darkness and the darkness of sin from our hearts. Oh Allah, we ask you to purify our hearts from the barakah of this Ramadan. Oh Allah, we ask you to allow every single inch of our body to be blessed with nur. Oh Allah, from our eyes to our ears, to our hands and feet, from head to toe. Oh Allah, allow us to be filled with nur. Oh Allah, just like the Prophet ﷺ asked for nur, to the extent he said, Ya Allah, Allah, maj'alni nura, oh Allah, make me nur. A'tini nura, grant me nur. Zidni nura, zidni nura, zidni nura, increase me in nur, increase me in nur, increase me in nur. He said, Oh Allah, bring nur from the top, from the bottom, from the right to the left, from the front and from the back. In all directions he asked for nur. Oh Allah, similarly, Oh Allah, make it easy for us to be able to walk through the difficulties of life. Oh Allah, and navigate through the difficulties of life through the barakah of this nur. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to turn the mission of our life to become in line with the mission that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant us all the passion and the emotions and the empathy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the entire ummah. Oh Allah, grant us all a global vision. Oh Allah, allow us all to work towards the betterment of the entire ummah. Oh Allah, save us from working only for the betterment of our own individual bodies and individual selves and individual families. Oh Allah, make us all team players for the entire ummah. Oh Allah, we ask you to fill our hearts with genuine concern and care for and the well-being of the entire ummah wherever they may be. Oh Allah, whether it's Sudan, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Sham, Syria, and Palestine. Oh Allah, whether it is, Ya Allah, Iraq, whether it is Northern Africa, Southern Africa, Central Africa, Oh Allah, whether it's the Pacific and whether it's, Oh Allah, in the different parts of the Middle East, in Europe, and or Ya Allah, South America, North America, Oh Allah, wherever the ummah is going through any type of financial, spiritual, emotional, physical difficulty, Oh Allah, we ask you through the blessings of this Ramadan that you remove their difficulties, grant them patience, grant them resilience, allow our difficulties to become a means of us turning towards you. Oh Allah, please do not allow us to just suffer without learning a lesson. Oh Allah, please do not put us through any difficulty. And if you choose to put us through difficulty, allow that difficulty to become a means of our forgiveness and a means of our status being elevated in Jannah and a means of us being connected back to you. Ya Allah, allow the difficulties that the ummah is going through at a grand scale, allow it to become a means of, Ya Allah, awakening the ummah. Oh Allah, allow this to lead to an awakening of the ummah. Allow it to become a means of awakening the ummah. Allow it to become a means of a revival of the ummah. Oh Allah, every single brother or sister, young or old, who is suffering from doubts. Oh Allah, who is going down a lizard hole. Oh Allah, who is leaving the deen. Oh Allah, we ask you to have mercy upon them. Bring them back. Oh Allah, bring them back to the deen. Oh Allah, bring them back to the deen. Oh Allah, allow them to find such people who can connect them back to Islam. Allow them to find such people who can represent Islam to them in a manner that they can get connected. Oh Allah, all those who have left completely the deen, Oh Allah, your doors of guidance are still open. The doors of hidayah are open till the last breath. Oh Allah, give them hidayah in this blessed month. Oh Allah, give all those who have left Islam hidayah to come back towards Islam. All those who are on the verge of leaving Islam, bring them back. Oh Allah, all the non-Muslims, Oh Allah, allow them to be guided towards Islam. Oh Allah, all the reverts, allow them to remain strong and firm in face of all the difficulty they are facing, Oh Allah, at home and outside. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, put mahabbah and love between every husband and wife and every couple. Oh Allah, please do not allow shaitan to have a share in our marriages. Oh Allah, we ask you to allow every husband and wife who are at odds at one another to, Ya Allah, use this month to connect with one another by connecting to Allah. Oh Allah, allow all those who are quarreling to turn together with sincerity towards Allah. Oh Allah, all those moms and dads who are disconnected with their kids and disconnected from their siblings, and all those children who are at war against one another or against their parents, allow the blessings of this Ramadan to allow them to reflect on their own lives and allow them to connect with their parents and connect with one another. Oh Allah, all of our blood relatives that we have disconnected from, allow this fasting and this Qiyamul Layl and the Sadaqah to become a means of softening our hearts and their hearts, and allow us to reconnect ourselves with those relatives that we have just been disconnected from. Ya Allah, grant us quality in our salah. Oh Allah, grant us quality in our dua. Oh Allah, grant us all of us the ability to discharge our zakat after proper calculation. Oh Allah, allow us to make up the zakat from previous past years. Oh Allah, previous past years. Oh Allah, please do not allow us to become from amongst those who do not discharge their zakat and will be punished for it in the hereafter severely. Oh Allah, all those who made intention for Hajj, Oh Allah, make it easy for them to fulfill that intention. Those who have yet to make intention and they have the means to go, Ya Allah, inspire them to go to make intention for Hajj. Oh Allah, we ask you to protect the entire community, Darussalam community, the masjid, the madrasa, the students, the seminary teachers and the staff members and our volunteers. Oh Allah, and our especially our Ramadan volunteers. And Oh Allah, our donors, our patrons, our well-wishers, our musallis, and anyone and everyone who listens into any of our programs from across the globe. Oh Allah, we ask you, them and generally the entire ummah, to forgive us. Oh Allah, to give us himmah, to make the most of this blessed month, to allow us all to benefit tremendously from every second. Allow us to be wise with our time management. Allow us to be involved, engaged in dhikr and dua consistently throughout this entire month. Oh Allah, whatever dua anyone is making across the globe, that is good, allow us to have a share in it. Oh Allah, all the brothers and sisters who are listening here, oh Allah, fulfill every single need of theirs related to this world, the grave, and the hereafter, their needs and the needs of their family members. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
We can follow along with the dua, inshallah. Bismillah.
Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay'in an taghfira li.